Now let's continue on here in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. We need to go back and add to what we are doing, see, so that we know and understand what God is doing in us and through us. And what this also tells us what the ministry is about, partly, not completely. But we'll see that in a little bit. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 4. When someone says, I'm of Paul, and another one says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Just looking at the physical things. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? They are but ministers through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to each one. So you see, it's not that the man comes between you and God, see. Whoever's going to be a teacher is going to be an overseer, like a coach on the sidelines, and everybody's involved in their own growth and overcoming, and Christ is the one, and the power of the Holy Spirit from the Father is working in us to accomplish. But what we are to do is to teach and help God facilitate what he's doing. He's chosen to do it that way. But that doesn't make ministers above anybody. What Christ always showed, like I mentioned when we ordain elders, it's a demotion, see, not a promotion. And Paul verifies this, you see. Ministers through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's the key. God gives you the growth. God gives you the increase. You need to work. You need to do the things that God says. Therefore, verse 7, neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, for it is God who gives the increase. So he says it twice. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. We're doing the same thing. But each one who is being taught shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's husbandry. Now, this becomes a very important thing because teaching and ministry and salvation all come together in a way where God uses all of it to do his good works. We'll see that. Let's come back here and we'll finish up with verse 17 in 1 Corinthians 3. We're the dwelling place of God. Now think how special that is. That's why receiving the Holy Spirit of God is so important, you see. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father in you, you are not his. See. Now, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks himself to be wise in this world, let him become a fool so that he may be wise in God's sight. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he entraps the wise in their own craftiness. Sounds a little bit like our current president, doesn't it? And a little bit like all of these scientists, you know, and all of the atheists. He entraps them in their own craftiness. They think they're so smart. You know, the super elite of the world. They think they're going to run the world. Uh-uh. Nope, all those they despise are going to do it. That's us. You know, if you think they despise Sarah Palin because she's not of them politically, think what they would think of us if we went up to them and said, we're going to replace you. But that's the whole theme of the Feast of Tabernacles this year. What will we be doing? Okay. Verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, do not let anyone boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. So it's all together, you see. Now let's see what God accomplishes. Let's come back here to the second chapter. There it is on the same page. Don't even have to turn a page. Now here is how it is done. Okay? Verse 9. It is the operation of the Spirit continually working that is not observable by any man. But the change in the growth will be observable over a period of time. Or, if they're building wood, hay, and stubble, that will be apparent over a period of time too as well. But according as it is written. Now this all comes together with, not of works lest any man should boast. Verse 9. The eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So when that resurrection occurs, it's going to be absolutely, how should we say, we will need a spirit mind and a spirit body in order to handle it. See, because it can't enter into this physical mind. We can have part of it and earnest of it, but the whole thing is going to be fantastic. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. That's how we know God's Spirit, see? For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Just like I wrote in my letter, God, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. Well, now we have the whole Word of God. So that needs to be our prayer, that we may see the wondrous things that you have in here, that you have inspired, that you have made possible, that you have given to us, that you will reveal to us, you see? Reveal them by his Spirit. For who among men understands the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? In the same way also the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. It's not going to be because you have degrees. Listen, you can know for sure. If you go to any university of this world, you're going to learn something of the world. And anything that is taught in any seminary may have a measure of what the Bible says, but unless you're keeping the commandments of God and have the Spirit of God, you're not going to understand it. It's very simple. See? Okay? No one understands. Verse 12, now we have not received the spirit of the world. Isn't that something? Those who love the world are part of the world, live in the world, uphold the world. They've received the spirit of the world. And guess who that comes from? Ephesians 2:2, the spirit of the power of the air, Satan the devil. See, we haven't received that spirit. But we have received the Spirit that is of God so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God. Isn't that something? And I'm seeing this more and more all the time because having to do church at home, I have to, for new people, I have to start from an entirely different basis. See? Entirely different basis. For years, what have we been doing? Rescuing those who are in the church of God. Helping them grow in grace and knowledge. And now is the time we're reaching out to new people. So I've got to understand, where are they? Where are they coming from? How do I approach them? See? So likewise. All right, let's see something else here. Come back here to chapter 4. Let's talk a little bit about the ministry since, you know, there are some troubles in one of the churches of God today. And I read a memo from a woman who emailed me and said, well, we're looking to see what kind of governance they're going to set up. See, because they had committees, you know, committee here, committee there, committee everywhere. Who's in charge? All of us. You know, little confusion, okay? All right. So I wrote her back and I said, the government is not the question that is primary. The real question is the Spirit of God. Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being? If you don't love God, if you don't follow the Word of God, it doesn't matter what kind of government you're going to set up because that's not the question. See? And so that shows a lack of understanding of what the purpose of the ministry is. Now, we get part of it here in 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 1, so then let every man regard us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, a steward is someone who is given charge of someone else's property to increase it, to manage it, and give back to the owner. See? So that's why when you read the parable of the talents, look, Lord, your 5 pounds has gained five. Here it is. It's yours. See? That's why we also need to understand that no man can say, these are my people. See? If God called them and God converted them and God led them and God brought them to repentance and he gave them his Holy Spirit, see, they belong to God. Now then, a steward then of the mysteries of God. You better know and understand the word of God because the secrets of God are buried in here. And let's just use a little vernacular. He ain't going to reveal anything to you if you're out there serving yourself. See? You serve God and you serve the people. Beyond that, it's required of stewards that one be found faithful. Because we're going to see what is it of the goal of teaching. See, the goal of teaching is not that you have the good mechanics in how to speak. Paul didn't have that. We don't know what his speech problem was. Doesn't tell us. But they said, whoo, his writings are powerful, you know. See? And, you know, he's going to be very surprised that much more has been done with his epistles through the centuries after he died than was done during the time of his ministry. Hey? Verse 3, but to me it is an insignificant matter that I'm judged by you or by man's standard, and neither do I judge myself. What does he mean by that? Of course he has to judge himself. How? By the word of God. If he judges himself by the word of God, he's not judging himself. Okay? Now, I'm not conscious of anything against me, yet I'm not justified by this, for the one who is judging me is the Lord. Therefore, do not judge anything before the time. Wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the motives of all hearts. Then shall each one receive praise from God. Okay? Let's read the next two verses here. Now these things, brethren, I have applied to Apollos and myself for your sakes, that in us you may learn not to think of men beyond what is written. And this has been the problem within the churches of God right here. See? How do you think Paul would have addressed HWA with the claim that he was God's only apostle on earth? Now, I think if we read Galatians 2 and the encounter between Paul and Peter, I think those would be pretty strong, solid words of condemnation. Because look what he's saying here. Don't think of men above what is written, especially you thinking of yourself. See? You know, like one man said when there was trouble, he said, who is the elder here? Well, the question is, what's really right? Not who you are. Is that true? Yes. So that no one among you is puffed up on behalf of one of us against the other. He's referring back to, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, and so forth. Okay? Verse 7, for what makes you superior to others? And what do you have that you did not receive? And I think of that every day. Paul wrote in Acts 17 that in God we live and move and have our being. See? And what do we have we didn't receive? And if we receive it, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to preach it and share it and teach it, correct? Yes. But if you also received it, why are you boasting as if you did not receive it? Then he ridicules them a little bit. Now you're satiated. Now you've been enriched. Now you have reigned without us. You've already made it into the kingdom of God. Wonderful. Show me your crown. No, won't work that way. Now, I'll have to say this in defense of HWA. If that would have happened and Paul would have corrected him, I believe he would have repented. See? But once you get in the habit of puffing up and once you get in the habit of believing your own propaganda, then what takes hold? Vanity and self-defense. See? Now, also, I know that in first-person testimony that Herbert Armstrong finally admitted that everything he did overseas was not of God. He confessed that God didn't open up a single door. We kicked them in with money. So I take that as repentance on his part. So I think he would have repented. So let's not say, oh, you know, touche against HWA. Because remember, most swords are fingers. And whenever there's one going out, what do you do with this? Well, this goes up and three go back, see? So you need to realize that. All right. Now, let's continue on here and see. Let's come to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and see about the whole purpose of the ministry and how that fits in our growing and overcoming. Because, see, we are being saved. And we are being saved with God's Spirit in us, how we are living, our personal relationship with God on a daily basis, and what we're being taught by those who are to be teachers. And you ought to know that if you're a teacher and those you are teaching know more than you, you're in trouble. That has happened in too many cases, see. So Paul is clarifying it here, you see. And he's showing how we need to act, how we need to respond, and the goal. What is the whole purpose in all that we do? We talk about the mind of Christ, don't we? Yes, let Christ be in you, the hope of glory. Yes, we talk about that it's the Father in us that gives us the will to do what is right and to do what is good, correct? And are those not the good works that God gives us? Yes. All right, now notice, sometimes when you're really in a trial, you begin to really understand the very basis of everything, don't you? You forget about all the vanity, you forget about all the fluff, you forget about all that stuff, right? So Paul, he was in prison. Now notice, just come back here to Ephesians 3 and verse 1. Okay? For this cause, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. All right? Chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, am exhorting you to walk worthily of the calling to which you were called. Now, remember, this is still the book of Ephesians, and where did we start? Ephesians 2, right? Yes. How are we to do it? With all humility and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Try this for a change. Instead of judging all the brethren compared to what you think is your standard of righteousness, why don't you forbear and pray for that person? Like Paul said, if you see a brother sin a sin not unto death, pray for him and God will help him. Pray that the person can change. They will. Is it possible with God's Spirit? Yes. Okay. Being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that cannot come unless the Spirit is being exercised every day. See? For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you were also called in one hope of your calling. We're all headed in the same way, see? That's why Paul wrote in Hebrews, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, see? One Lord, who's also called God. One faith, one baptism, can't be done without baptism because you're not in covenant with God unless you've been properly baptized. Anything else that was called a baptism was a dunking. You know, at least you're a little better than Dunkin' Donuts. They got fried. Okay. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. See, so that everything is completely different, isn't it? So you see how then we are to grow in grace and knowledge, grow in overcoming, you see. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And we need to always keep this in mind. Now, okay, good. Question was asked, what is the gift of Christ? Is that the Holy Spirit? Well, the gift of Christ, these are the gifts that he gives to each one of us. Okay? To one is given wisdom, to one is given knowledge, to another is given the gift of healing, to one is given the gift of speaking, etc. See, but we all have gifts. To another, the gift of encouragement, to another, the gift of helping, you see. But these are all related to the Spirit of God. Verse 8, for this very reason, he says, that after ascending on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, to all of us, you see. It says here, verse 7, but the grace was given to each one of us, all of us, see. Continuing now, verse 9, what is it but that he who also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who also ascended above all the heavens so that he might fulfill all things. Now you go clear back to Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Do not think I've come to destroy the law. I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. And is it continually being fulfilled? Is the will of God being fulfilled in you every day? Yes, with his Spirit, sure. Okay. Now notice, the ministry, the whole purpose for it. It's not a self-exaltation. He gave some as apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. See, it's not a promotion. It is not an exaltation. But God has chosen to use men and his Spirit and his Word all combined together for the perfecting of the saints. Okay? That's the workmanship, right? We are his workmanship. See? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, edifying means to build up. And this is the same word that is used for a noun for a builder, see, to build up until we all come into the unity of the faith. See, now he says here there's one faith, but also we are to come to the unity of faith. How do we come to the unity of faith? Through the Holy Spirit, through the study of the Word of God. We cannot keep people in the faith by any form of church government to rule brethren. You're not developing spiritually. You may keep them in an organization, but the question is, are you keeping them in Christ? Yes. Now let's analyze here. Verse 13, showing it's a continual work until we, see, so it might be interesting, go through the epistles and look at the we in us's, you see, until we all, Paul's including himself, come into the unity of the faith. Now, what is the absolute perfection of the unity of faith? When does that come?
The stature of the fullness of Christ.
When does that come?
Resurrection.
Yes. See? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, put in your margin there, perfect man, Matthew 5:48. You are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, you see. And so that is the goal of growing and changing and overcoming. So it cannot be that once saved, always saved, because Jesus shows that you also have to endure to the end and you shall be saved. So we have been saved from Satan, the devil, and the world and ourselves. We are being saved as we're growing in grace and knowledge. And we shall be saved at the resurrection. And all of this is the work and creation of God. Now notice, see? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we no longer be children, tossed and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, with a view to the systematizing of the error. And that's been completed now, hasn't it? You ever read a catechism? Yes. But holding the truth in love, not hold the truth in contempt and judgment against others, but holding the truth in love, may in all things, grow up into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and compacted together by that which every joint supplies. Everyone has a part to supply in the body of Christ, according to the inner working of the measure of each individual part, is making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So you see, when you reach that point and attain to your place of safety in the grave, because there's going to be a lot of places of safety in the grave. I was thinking about that the other day, because I have a funeral coming up this week. And I was thinking about what Jesus said concerning, he told the disciples, he said, don't say there are 4 months to the harvest. He says, lift up your eyes and look on the wheat, on the fields. They're all white to the harvest. And I was thinking, look at all of the white heads in the church. We're getting ready for the harvest. And the harvest happens every time someone dies in the faith. See? That's something, because we are to be faithful unto the end. And Jesus said, if you are, I will give you a crown of life. So that's the whole purpose. And that's the ultimate in salvation, attaining to the resurrection of the dead. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.